The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Torah tells us, Vayim Hashem al Meshe. Hashem said to Meshe, Be'el Pare, come to Pare, ki ani ichbarati es libei ves lev avodov. Because I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants. In order that I can give forth all of my wonders within him. And in order that you shall be able to tell to your children and to your children's children all that I have been isalalti b'mitzrayim, Rashi tells us the word isalalti means sochakti, all that I sported with Parai in Egypt. And the signs which I have placed there, which I have put there, vidatem kini Hashem, in order that you shall know that I am Hashem. So Meshe and Aaron came to Pare, and they said to him, this is what Hashem, the God of the Hebrew, said, Admosai me antele ones mi ponoi. For how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Shalach ami ve'abduni, send out my nations that they may serve me. Ki imo ein atole shaleach es ami, because if you refuse to send out my nation, hineni mevi mocho arbe bigvulecho, tomorrow I will bring locusts to your boundaries. So the Torah told, Hashem told Meshe that he should go to Pare, because I have hardened Pare's heart and the heart of his servants, in order that I might bring forth all of my signs into Egypt, and in order that you shall be able to tell over to your sons and your sons' sons all that I sported with Egypt and the great signs that I have placed there. The word is salalti, Rashi tells us, to sport, to play, sochakti. Now what does this mean? Here we find the greatest devastation possible to a man. Pare was the king of Egypt. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, is saying that I am all that I have sported with him. Egypt was a mighty empire. And the Almighty is saying, what I have sported, I have played with them. What does this mean? There are many principles that we can learn from here. Man, who is the Nifchar Mikol HaNivroim, who was the greatest of all of the Almighty's creations, is in essence a king. He is a Melech B'Tachtenim, he is a king over the world. He has the power to be a Melech Al Atzmai. A Meishel B'Atzmai, he can be a ruler over himself. So man was created to be a great king. And the attribute that makes him into this great individual, this great king, is the Keach HaBechira, the fact that he has freedom of choice, that he and he alone can choose for himself his path, if he wants to walk along the righteous path or if he wants to walk along a non-righteous path. This is the Nakuda, this is the central point in man that is found in no other creation. And this power is so strong and so fierce and so independent that the Torah tells us that even if we could say the Almighty himself has no sovereignty over it, Hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyirei shamayim, everything is in the hands of heaven except the potential, the capability of an individual to fear heaven. There are many things that the Almighty will decree. He'll decree if a man should be wealthy or poor, the Gemara says. He'll decree if a man should be healthy or not healthy, so forth. But whether a man should choose right or wrong, this is not even in the hands of the Almighty. This is left only in the hands of the individual. And the Almighty will not interfere into this area. Hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyirei shamayim, everything is in the hands of heaven, except the fear of heaven. That and that alone was given into the hands of man. This is a domain which the Almighty cannot fear him, cannot interfere in. He created a man with an independent power to choose right and wrong. So we see why a man is a king. He can be a ruler. He can rule over himself. Misachik, to sport, this is a complete devastation of something. For example, we had in a previous parsha, where Avraham's son, Yishmael, was Misachik. He was sporting with Yitzchok. And Sora said, send him away. I don't want him here. I don't want him to inherit together with my son Yitzchok. And what was he doing? What was he sporting? So the Chazal tell us, first of all, he would shoot arrows at Yitzchok. And he would say, Haleim, Misachik ami. I'm only sporting. And then the Chazal tell us that he was bringing all types of bad influence into the house, because the word Misachik means Averizora, idolatry. We find that this word is used in reference to that. It also means Gila Arayas, acts of immorality, incest. And it also means Shfichas Domim, acts of killing. Now why does the word Misachik, to play or to sport, why does this refer to those things? The Maral explains, because these are the extremities of all the Averas. Of all the transgressions of man, these are extremities. And they're so extreme that they're completely removed from the uprightness of the world. They're completely removed from the moderation of the world. They're completely removed from the true reality of right and wrong. And anything that is removed from the true reality becomes a misachik. It becomes a sport. It becomes a play. For example, children play. They play house. They play dolls. It's a fictitious exercise. It's the opposite of reality. And this is why this is called misachik. To laugh in this manner means to scoff. When a person scoffs at something, what is he doing? He's rejecting the seriousness of a matter. He's rejecting the truth of the reality of the matter. And this is why our Chazal tell us, Litzonus achas deche mea techichus, that one scoff could reject or could undermine 100 rebukes. Therefore, the word misachik, to sport, relates itself to these subjects. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Pare, and he took Egypt, and he sported with them. He salauti. And this was a complete devastation. From an empire, a complete devastation of man. Why did he do this? Why did he sport with them? So the Torah tells us, Ki ani ichbariti es libei velev avodov. I have hardened their hearts, and the hearts of Paro and the hearts of the servant. I have taken away from him the power to determine for himself whether he will do right or wrong. I sent Moshe to tell him to send out the people. And now I will not let him send out the people. I have hardened his hearts and the hearts of his servants. I have taken from him the power to do right and wrong. And when this happens, So then man is completely deflated. No longer is he a man. A person, even though he might be sick, he still has the power of Bechira. He has the power of free choice. Even though he's wounded, he still can determine for himself right and wrong. Pare no longer was capable of determining right and wrong. Kodesh Baruch Hu removed that from him. And no longer was he a man, but he was a fictitious being. He was a shell. Ishalalti, I have sported with him and with his nation. And the source of this goes back to Parshas Shemos, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu approached Moshe by the burning bush. In Shemos Gimel, Pasuk Yud Tes, Vani yodati ki lo yitein eschem melech Mitzrayim lahalech velei b'yad chazoko. I know that he will not let Israel go, and not with a strong hand. V'shilach v'sholachti ashodi v'ikesi es Mitzrayim b'chol nifloisei asherese b'kirboi v'achrechei nishalech eschem. And I will send forth, and I will strike Egypt with all of my wonders. Kodesh Baruch Hu said that I know, ani yodati, I know that he will not send out Klal Yisrael. The Chazal tell us that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew he would not send out Klal Yisrael, still Paro had choice during the first five plagues. Because during the first five plagues it states that Paro hardened his own heart. After the first five plagues, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardened his heart. I know that he will not listen, and therefore I will remove the power of the Bechira, of free choice, of tshuva, of repentance from him. Why? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this? If he will not listen, so why didn't he just force him to send the people out right away? So this is what the other pasuk says. L'man tesaper be'oz nevincho v'embincho es asher yisalalti b'mitzrayim v'soysoysa asher samti v'om. I am retaining him. I want him to remain alive in order that you will be able to tell your children forever what I did to Egypt. If he would have done shuva, if he would have chosen right, good. But since he will not, so now I will use him. It was through Parai that came out a great desecration of the Almighty's name. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Moshe, and he told him, instructed him to tell Parai to send out the people, he said, Mila Hashem Asher Esh Me'elai. Who is Asher Esh Me'elov? Who is Hashem that I should listen to? Parai can considered himself as great as the Almighty. And Parai was a king, and this influence went into Egypt. Since he caused the desecration of my name, it will be through him that there will be the Kiddush Hashem, the sanctification of my name. My greatness will be known through Parai in Egypt. And we see this is because the source of the Yad Chazoka, the source of the greatness and the power of the Almighty, comes through the Yetzias Mitzrayim, comes through the Exodus, comes through the Seder every year, the Yigadat Olevincha, that you should tell over your children the greatness of the Almighty, the greatness of His wonders. And this came because His halalti I have sported with him. I have let him live in order that this might come about. We see another point from here, that it's possible that can come a time to a person when no longer he can do tshuva, like by Parai. The first five plagues he had the freedom of choice. After that he didn't. The Medrash tells us in Medrash Rabbi Shmeis Rabbi Pashis Yud Gimel Omer B'yechnan Mikan Pishkun Pele Minim Lohoi Yisa Mimene Shiyashit Shuba Kshedema Ki Ani Achbarati As Liboy. This that the Torah is writing, this gives place for a non-believer to come into scoff, because he could say that HaKadosh Baruch was not fair to people. He hardened Paro's heart. He didn't allow him to do tshuva. So the answer is Shakarish Borhu Masare Ba'odam Pam Rishaina Pam Shniu Shlishish. Kodesh Baruch Hu warns a person once, he warns him again, he warns him a third time. And if after several times, still, he will not repent, then he closes his heart from tshuva. Then he does not allow him to do tshuva. In order that he can demand retribution for his sin. Afkan para reishon. So was it with para roshon. Since he sent to him five times that he should let the people go and he didn't listen. You hardened your neck and you refuse to humble yourself. I will bring more impurities upon you. I will harden your heart. And the reason for this is because the whole source of tshuva, that a person can repent, is because we understand that what he did wrong was only superficial. Did not have to do with the essence of the person, but was merely superficial. This had to do merely with the physical being of the person, but not with the essence of the person. And since it had to do with the chaymer, with the physical being of the person, that's subject to change. A person is a balguf, a person is a physical creation. It's subject to error. So therefore it's subject to change. So a person through tshuva, through repentance, can uplift himself to the point where the Gemara says that everything he did is nasesh koges. Everything he did wrong is as if he did it in error. That's when it remains at a superficial level. At the cause was the fact that it was a physical person. But what happens if he continuously does this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu warns him and warns him and warns him. Then we see that the chet, that we see that the shortcoming is not coming from the fact that he's a physical person, but we see it has to do with the essence of the person. And this tshuva can't help, because the essence of the person, that's not changeable. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani masre bei pamachas shnai, I warn him once, twice, three times. And if not, then I remove from him the possibility of tshuva. Another interesting point that we see here, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe by the burning bush, he said, "Va'ani yodati ki lo yitein eschem melech Mitzrayim lahalech." I know that he will, when you go and speak to him, he will not listen to you. I know. The Brisker Rav writes, here the word va'ani is used. I know. And we do not find too many times in the Torah where HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to himself as Va'ani, I. Many times it's written Elohim, one of the names of Hashem. But here he refers Va'ani, I know. Because only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could know this. Because since the freedom of choice was given over to an individual, then no one can ever say that he won't do it. He won't do it. You can never say on a person, don't ask him to do the mitzvah, because he'll refuse you. How do you know he'll refuse you? Every man is given free choice. It's his decision. It's nobody else's decision. You can never say on a person, he will never change. How do you know? He'll never do tshuva. He'll never do this mitzvah. He'll never give this tzedakah. This you can't say. Because since it's a mitzvah, so then it's his domain. And it's only his domain. And no one else has a right over it. The power to determine yes or no was given only to him. So nobody can testify in anyone whether he'll do it or he won't do it. So then how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu testify on Paroi to Moshe that he won't let the people go? He'll be a Rosha, he'll be wicked, he'll be evil, and he won't let the people go. So on that he said, Ba'ani. Ani refers to the essence of the Almighty Himself. Essence of the Almighty Himself can testify to that, but no one else. The essence of the Almighty, which can see in prophecy the future and overlook any limitations, can see even what a person will choose himself, and only he can choose that. I know, but it's impossible for anyone else to know. That's why the word Ani is written here. And one more point. Maisha said to Paroi, "Ad mosai mi anta leonos mi ponai. For how long will you refuse to humble yourself? Shalachami ve'abduni, send out my nation that they may serve me. Ki imo eina tole shalechesami. Because if you refuse, then tomorrow I will bring locusts to your boundaries." So here again, the Brisker Rav says that this is actually what the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, which we brought many times before, that the Torah says that the reason why the Almighty brings hardships and difficulties upon a person is because v'halachti mimi bekeri, because you have walked with me bekeri. What does keri mean? Bemikro, that you have assessed that everything that happens to you is only because of the natural occurrence of events and for no particular reason. And what does this mean? So the Rambam explains in the beginning of Hilchos Tainus that whenever there is a trouble or there is a tzora that comes upon a person or a community, it's a mitzvah, it's a positive commandment that we should go and blow the shofars, blow the trumpets, and cry out to Hashem. Chalila, if heaven forbid, plague comes, or famine, or drought, or so forth, war. And this has to do with repentance. Why? Because then we recognize that what is coming upon us is not something that has no relevance to our acts. Because if it's coming upon us and it has no relevance to our acts, so what are we coming? What are we coming to cry out to Hashem, and why are we fasting? But then we recognize that we are the cause of these, of this. And if we are the cause, then we can remove it also. So therefore, it's midarkei hatshuva. Zehu shiyu igron lohasiyah tzora me'aleihem. Then the Rambam writes, "Avol im lo yizaku v'lo yoriu ala yemer edov zeh miminog elam iralon v'tzora zu nikro nikreis." But what happens if we do not react? And we will say that this is happening because it's only a natural occurrence of events. Every few years you must expect a bad year. Every few years there can be an outbreak of some type of sickness. Then harezu derech achzorius. So this is a wicked, this is a ruthless way. A ruthless approach. Why? Because this will cause more to come upon the individual, more to come upon the community. This is what is written in the Torah. If you will walk with me in this way, then I will bring more tzora upon you. So this is what Moshe is telling Paroi. That if you will humble yourself before me, good. If not, then I will bring additional tzora. I will bring additional plagues to your boundaries. Tomorrow I will bring the locusts. This is a very important principle for a person. That if something happens to a person, he must realize it's for a purpose. It didn't just happen, it's for a purpose. And it's for a good purpose it's happening to him. And he must study. He must think, he must contemplate. Why? And it's to make him into a better person. And if not, then he will bring even more things upon himself. And this goes one point further. Rashi tells us in last week's Sedra, in Parshas Va'eiro, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to go to Pare, and Pare won't listen, and I will bring all types of punishments on Pare. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that I bring punishments on the nations in order that Israel should listen. I bring punishments upon the nations in order that Israel should learn from this. When the nations are deserving of punishment, so I use this as a demonstration to Israel. And I will bring devastation to Egypt in order that Israel should learn from this now and forever. So we see from here that not only does a person have to react what happens to him, or what happens to his community, or what happens to all of Israel, but he must also react to what happens in the world in general. When we see that great plague, or war, or whatever it might be, happens in the world, it's happening for the purpose of Israel. And a Jew must react to this. And he must realize that there is something, there's a reason for this, and something that he is supposed to learn from this. These are some of the important principles that we can learn from these psukim. Also in this parsha, amongst the many mitzvahs, is a very important mitzvah, which is brought in Perek Yud Beis, Vayema Hashem El Moshe V'al Aaron Beretz Mitzrayim Lemor. Hashem told Moshe and Aaron in Egypt, saying, HaChedesh Hazer Lochem Reish Kadoshim. This month is the beginning of your months. Rishen Hu Lochem Lechotzi Hashono. It shall be the first month of all of the months of the year. Dabru El Kol Adash Yisrael Lemor. Speak to the congregation, saying, Be'ose Lachodesh Hazer, on the 10th of this month, this was referring to the month of Nisan, everyone should take a sheep together with his household. They should take a sheep or a goat, and they should prepare for the Korban Pesach, the sacrifice of the Pesach. Now, the simple text, the simple meaning of this mitzvah, Rosh Chodeshim, that this month shall be Rosh Chodesh, the beginning of your months, refers to Nisan. It was referring to Nisan. It was the month of Nisan when Israel went out. This shall be your first month. And Rashi tells us, this is the pshute, this is the simple sense. Eina mikra yeitzim b'dei pshute, achedish nisen omalei, ze yereish l'seidu minin achadoshim. This shall be the first month of the year. She'ir korisheni sivin shlishi, the second month should be year, the third month shall be sivin, and so forth. But there's another law that we learn out from here. In a very basic and important law. Not that it means Achedish Hazel Lochem, this month shall be Reish Chodeshim, the beginning of the month. But Achedish Hazel Lochem HaChodesh refers to the word Chidush. Chidush means renewal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said this renewal shall be the beginning of the month for you. What renewal? So Rashi brings from the Mechilta, Hare'eyu Herolei be'etzba esal avona berikia ba'omar lei kezer re'ei ve'kadish. Kodesh Baruch Hu showed to Moshe the moon and the Chidush alvono, the new moon. And he said to him, Hareyu levona bechidusha, v'omar lei kishayoreach mischadish yilocho reish chedesh. He showed him the renewal of the moon. He said to him that when you see the new moon, be mekadish, that is the beginning of the month. So it's not referring to this particular month, but it's referring that whenever there's a renewal of the new moon, this should be reish chadoshim, this should be the new month. Rishon hu lachem lechotzi hashana. This shall be the chotzi hashana. This shall be the months of the year. This is the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. The Rambam brings in Hilchis Kiddush HaChodesh. Chotzi hashana him chotzi alavona. The months of the year that we count by are the months of the moon. not the months of the year. Shnema olas chedish bechotshei, v'nemar achodish hazeh lochem reish chadoshim. And we learn this from two places. One from here. How do we know that when we count our months, it goes in accordance to the cycle of the moon? That when the moon completes a cycle, that's the end of 1 month, and the beginning of a second. When it completes another cycle, it's the end of a second month. Maybe we should count the moons like most nations count the months like most nations, which would mean that we merely divide up the cycle of the sun into 12 portions, and each one is called a month. That would be Chodesh Hachamo, the months in accordance to the sun. So how do we know that we are to count in accordance to the moon? So one source is this posuk, Hachedish Hazer Lochem Reish Chadoshim. This chidush, Kachomer Chachomim Herolei HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Meisha B'Mara Nevuah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Meisha through prophecy, Demus Levona. He showed him the moon. V'yom Alei Kezei Rei V'Kadosh, when the moon renews itself, this shall be the beginning of your month. This is one place where we know it from. Second place where we know it from, as it states, Olas Chodesh Bechotshei, that you shall bring the sacrifice, that on every new month, on every Reish Chodesh, you all know that there's a longer davening. Besides saying Halal, we daven Musaf. Why do we daven Musaf? Because during the time of the Beis HaMikdosh, there wasn't only one sacrifice brought, which we daven Shachris in place of, but there was a second sacrifice brought. And that was the Korban Reish Chodesh, the Seir Reish Chodesh, sacrifice of Reish Chodesh. And this is why we daven Musaf. And it says in the Torah, Olas Chodesh Bechotsho, that you should bring the sacrifice in the month when the month renews itself. Olas Chodesh Bechotsho. You should bring the sacrifice of the month when the month renews itself. Now, what month renews itself? The months of the sun do not renew themselves. There is no renewal in the sun. But there is a renewal in the moon. So from there we learn that what determines the beginning and the end of the month is the moon. Vahashonim. But the year, Sho'onu Mechashvim, the year though that we count by, Hem Shnei Achamo. This goes in accordance to the cycle of the sun. We don't count 12 months, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, and so forth, 12 renewals of the moon, and then we call it a year. We'll have whatever we'll have, call it Tovshin Mem Beis, Tovshin Mem Gimel, and we'll start over again. But the year only ends in accordance to the calculation when the sun year ends. The complete cycle of the sun. The 365 infraction of a days. How do we know that? Because it says, states, Vahashonim, Shona Machajim, and Shnei Achama, Shnei Mashmores, Chedesh Oviv. This is also from this week's parsha. Because it states, Shmores, Chedesh Oviv. Be careful that Pesach should be in springtime. Pesach comes out on the 15th of Nisan. And if you go merely in accordance to the moons, so after 12 moons, you'll have another 15th of Nisan. After a few years, it'll come out that Pesach will be in the middle of the summer, not in the springtime. And if you go further, Pesach will come in the winter. Because the seasons are governed by the cycle of the sun, not by the cycle of the moon. Shmor, you must be careful to calculate the calendar, that Pesach always comes out in the springtime, and then Shavuos is 49 days later, and so forth. So, the commentary states here, Shishkarish lahem riya biyoreach, acha shenista bor HaShemesh. Not like the majority of the nations that count in accordance to the moons, the months of the year, but in accordance to the moon. So the Rambam continues now. He says, Kama yaseir shnasa chama shnasa labona. How much longer is a sun year more than a moon year? Korome acharosor yom. It's approximately 11 days longer. If you count 12 cycles of the moon, and you'll count the complete cycle of the sun, the sun year will be 12 days longer. So therefore, when you will have approximately 30 days difference, that the moon year is lagging 30 days behind the sun year, we add then a new month. The and that year we make into 13 months. All the time we'll count 12 months and then start a new year. But it'll come out that the sun year is 365 days plus. The moon year is 11 days shorter. So it will come out that the year will be following behind the sun, and the seasons will not be exactly correct. So every few years, when there's an approximate 30-day difference, collectively, we add a month. So instead of having 12 months, we'll have 13 months. And that's called a shnas meuberes. That's called a full year. A full year. And which month do we add? We add the month of Adar Sheni, the last month of the year, before Nisan. Because it's going to come out that Nisan is going to come too early, since we're going according to the moon, and the moon is 11 days short of the sun. So Nisan is going to come too early. And the Torah said that Nisan must always come in the springtime. Pesach must be in the springtime. So therefore we fill out the year with an extra month in order to push Nisan back into the springtime. What? Well, no, we calculate the first month in accordance to the moons, not according to the sun. Nisan is the first month. See? Yeah, well, that'll be in the springtime. That'll be in the springtime. And well, I mean, we have a Mercedes, we have a tradition as to when to start. Then the Rambam says, what does this mean that there's a chidush halvona, that the moon renews itself? Halvona nisteres bechol chedish. The moon conceals itself every month. There's going to be approximately 2 days every month in which you won't be able to see the moon, even if it's a clear night. In every cycle, there'll be approximately 2 days in which the moon conceals itself. Approximately 1 day before the end of the moon cycle, when it comes close to the sun, it conceals itself. And approximately 1 day after that, it conceals itself. And then you will be able to see the moon in the west. And in the night, when you see the moon after it has concealed itself, this is the new month. And then you count 29 days from there. This means that the moon conceals itself. And when it reappears, that's the new month. That's the new moon, that's the new month. And every day the moon becomes larger until the 15th day. The cycle of the moon is 15 days. The 15th day you have what is known as a Chodesh B'milu'ah, a full moon. Then from there it starts to diminish for 15 days. The 16th day it's a little smaller, the 17th day it's smaller, until approximately 29 days, then it becomes nothing and it disappears itself. Disappears again. On the 28th day, it starts to disappear. And then you cannot see it for 1 or 2 days, and then it renews itself. So the cycle of the moon is 15 days upward, and then 15 days downward. Then it renews itself, and that's the new month. So you count 29 days. And if you see the new month on the 30th day, then that's Reish Chodesh. It's the beginning of the new month. If you do not see it on the 30th day, this means sometimes the moon takes a little longer Then we declare the new month for the 31st day. B'yayim shleishim ha'chedish o'ava. And 12 of these cycles is a year. That means then we start over again. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, and 12 of the cycles, and then we come back to Nisan. But if we would continue like that, then the months would not correlate with the seasons of the year. Because the months in the cycle in accordance to the moon is shorter than the cycle in accordance to the sun. And it's the sun that governs the seasons. The Torah says that the sun governs the seasons. Spring and summer and winter is determined by the cycle of the sun. So it would come out that our seasons would be slipping backwards. Nisan would come out still in the wintertime, not in the summertime. So therefore we add the extra month. Now there's another very important halacha that the Rambam brings. Ein riyas hayareach mesura lechol odom kimei Shabbos bereishis. The determination of the months is different than the determination of Shabbos. Shikolech and Meina Shisha v'Shevis b'Shvi. For example, Shabbos, everybody can determine Shabbos for himself. What does that mean? He counts 6 days, and the seventh is Shabbos. Shabbos is a reality. If you count 6 days and you're counting correctly, then the seventh day is a Shabbos, irregardless what anyone tells you. The Beis Din can tell you that today is not Shabbos, but if it is Shabbos, it's Shabbos. You count 6 days and the seventh day is Shabbos. Reish Chodesh is not like that. The calculation of the months are not like that. Ela leBeis Din adover mosur, ad shikachu Beis Din v'yikbu esah hayem Reish Chodesh, ad shiyah Reish Chodesh. Even if the new month appears tonight, it is not Reish Chodesh until the Beis Din HaGodol, until the great Sanhedrin declared it to be Reish Chodesh. And if they do not declare it to be Reish Chodesh, then it's not the first of Nisan. Even if the new moon is tonight, if for some reason they'll decide to declare tomorrow night as Reish Chodesh, then Pesach will be 15 days from that night, not 15 days from tonight. They are Keveya, they calculate, they declare the calendar months. How do we know that? Shenemar Achedish Hazel Lochem. Because in this pasuk that we read, it says Achedish Hazel Lochem, this month, this chidush, this renewal shall be for you. Tia Mesura Lochem. For you it shall be the beginning of the new months. It is determined by you. So from this pasuk we learn several halachos. One is Achedish Hazel Lochem. Achodish can mean Nisan. Nisan shall be Reish, the beginning of your months. And also Achodish means renewal. This renewal shall be how you will establish a new month. Achedish Hazer. What does it mean Hazer? This month, the Chazal tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty understanding it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him the moon, when to calculate it. Lochem, for you. You must calculate it. The Beis Din must set it up. Reish Chodeshim, this will be the beginning of your months. Rishen Hu Lochem Lechodesh HaShana, it will be the beginning, the first of the months of your year. There's an interesting Rashi in the beginning of the Sefer Torah. Well, Rashi says, and the first pasuk, Bereishis Bara Elokim, in the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Es HaShamayim Ve'Es HaOretz, the heavens and the earth. Omer Rabbi Yitzchok, Rashi brings the medrash that Rabbi Yitzchok asked, Lo hayatzorech lahaskel el ha'teira el ha'me'achedish hazeh lochem, shehi mitzvah rishayna shenitzavah bo Yisrael. The Torah should have begun with this mitzvah, ha'chedish hazeh lochem, the calculation of the new moon. Because this is the first mitzvah in the Torah. Why did the Torah start with Bereishis Bara Elokim in the beginning? The Almighty created the heavens and the earth. So Rashi gives a teretz. He brings the answer. See, Matam Posik B'Bereishis, he brings an answer. So what do we see? We see that this mitzvah is the first mitzvah given to Klal Yisrael. To tremendous importance. This is the first mitzvah given to Klal Yisrael. Now, it seems though there's a difficulty, because there were three mitzvahs given to Klal Yisrael before this mitzvah. If you look in the Rambam, or if you look in the Sefer HaChinuch that counts all of the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah, you'll see that this mitzvah is the fourth mitzvah of the 613. Three were given before. Peru Urvu, that you should be fruitful and multiply, this was given to Adam HaRishon, to the first man. That's the first mitzvah. The second mitzvah is the Bris Milah. Circumcision was given to Avraham Avinu. The third mitzvah was Gir HaNosha. Gir HaNosha, that you should not eat. You should not eat from a certain nerve that's found in the thigh of an animal, and we're not allowed to eat it. And this is because when Yaakov fought with the angel, he was wounded there. This mitzvah was given to Yaakov. And this is the fourth mitzvah. So why is this called the first mitzvah? The Goraye says this is the first mitzvah that Moshe commanded. Moshe's first mitzvah to Klal Yisrael was this mitzvah, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. From this time, this was before Moshe. The mitzvah of Gir HaNosha, that you're not allowed to eat that particular nerve, that was during the time of Yaakov, that was before Moshe. This was the first mitzvah that Moshe commanded. And he continues to say, the Goraye, that we must say that Moshe commanded all of the mitzvahs over again. At Har Sinai and Mount Sinai, Moshe gave over all of those other mitzvahs also. Because the Chazal Darshan, Torah Tziva Lona Moshe, the Torah was commanded to us by Moshe. The numerical value of Torah is 611. Numerical value of the word Torah is 611. 611 mitzvahs were commanded to us by Moshe, and two was Mipi HaGvura Shomanu. Two we heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. The first two of the Ten Commandments, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God, and Lo Yelecha Elohim Acherim, you shall not have gods of others. These we heard directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there are 613 mitzvahs, 611 Moshe gave us, and two we heard directly from Hashem. If Moshe gave us 611, so then he must have said over the other mitzvahs. So what is the answer? That on Sinai, Moshe gave over all of the mitzvahs to Klal Yisrael, which were given previously, which Hashem had given to Adam, to the first man, or to Avraham, or to Yaakov. So, from all of the mitzvahs that Moshe gave, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, this mitzvah is the first. This commands a very important place in the Torah, in the mitzvahs. This is the first mitzvah. Now, why should this have been the first mitzvah? So there is a very apparent reason, without going into great depth, why this should have been the first mitzvah. Because all of the mitzvahs of Mitzrayim, the mitzvahs that had to do with the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt, they apparently, it's obvious, they had to be given before Sinai. Because they did not come to Sinai until 3 months after they went out of, 49 days after they went out of Egypt. And here we have all of the mitzvahs that had to do with the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt. The sacrifice of Pesach and the Matzah and the Moro and so forth. Because these all took place with the going out of Egypt. And before Moshe could give any of these mitzvahs, so he had to establish when they should be fulfilled. They must be fulfilled on the 15th of Nisan, or on the 10th of Nisan. When is the 15th of Nisan? When is the 10th of Nisan? When is the first day of Nisan? So therefore, first he had to command the people how to establish the calendar. And that's what he told them. He says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Reish Kadoshim. The beginning of each month shall be dependent on the renewal of the moon. Rishon hu lachem luchot she'ashur. And then he says, Dabru el kol hadas yisrael emor, be'oser l'chodesh hazeh, on the 10th of this month, you shall take a sheep for the sacrifice. So since all of the mitzvahs of Mitzrayim, of Egypt, had to be given before Sinai because they had to fulfill them now, and first we must establish when they must be fulfilled. So therefore the first mitzvah that Moshe had to give the people was Achedish HaZelochem, this month. One more point. The Gemara in Masech Tachulin and Afsanach. The Gemara tells us, Gemara asks a kasha, and Afsanach Omed Beis. In the beginning of the Sefer Torah, it writes, in Pasuk Yud Daled, Hashem said, let there be lights in the heavens of the earth, in the heavens. Lahavdil ben ayem ben alayla, to distinguish between day and night. And it should be for signs, and to establish the Yom Tevim, and to establish the days, and to establish the years. And the lights shall be in the heavens to give light on the land. And Hashem made the two great lights. He made the great light to rule over the day, and he made a small light to rule over the night, the Esak Kechovim and the stars. So the Gemara asked the Kasha. It says that the Almighty made the two great lights, and then it states the great light to rule the day and the small light to rule the night. He made the two great lights, and then it tells us one was a great light and one was a small light. What's happening? So the Gemara says, Omro Yerech Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The moon came before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created both lights equal. He created the sun and the moon, and they were both of equal strength. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu came, and the moon came, and he said, Omro Yerech Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribbeinu Shel Olam, Efshel Lishnei Malachim Shishtamshu Bekeser Echad. Is it possible that two kings can serve with one crown? If we are equal, the sun and the moon, then it means that there is a partnership here. If there's a partnership, then one cannot be a king. A king must be the yochid, the individual head of the state. If there is someone of equal stature, then they divide the empire and there is no king. Is it possible that two kings shall serve with one under one crown? Omar lo, so the Almighty said to the moon, L'chi u'mat yes atzmech. What you said is very good. Go and diminish yourself. Go and make yourself smaller. So the moon made himself smaller, but the moon came along. Omru lefonav ribayinu shalaylam. The moon came along and said, O'yil v'amati lefanecha dover hogein amid es atzmi. Just because I said something that is very right, so therefore I should make myself smaller. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Omar lo, l'chi u'mashel b'yayim u'b'layla. So the Almighty said, I'll give you something to make up for it. You'll rule both in the day and at night. The sun will appear only in the day. Originally, the sun was supposed to rule over the day and the moon was supposed to rule at night. And the moon claimed, so it's a partnership in the kingdom of the world. It can't be. So he said, all right. Let the sun be the king, and you will be second in command. So the sun said, the moon said, because I told you something good, therefore I have to become smaller. So he said, I'll make it up to you. The sun will rule only over the day. You will shine, you will be apparent both at night and during the day. And many times during the day you can see the moon. So the moon answered, Omru le mai revusa de sharga batira mayahani. And the moon answered, what is the big kunz? Says a candle in daylight cannot be seen. If I'm such a small light, when I exist during the time of the sun, nobody can see me. So what is so great about that? Omalei zil limna b'chol Yisrael yomim b'shonim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll make it up to you in another way. Israel will count their calendar by you, not by the sun. They'll count their calendar by you. Omrulei, so the moon answered, still not good. Yumanami yefshed elamonovet kufosay. Still not good, because they still must count by the sun, like we mentioned before. They count only by the moon. All the seasons will go off, so they must count by the sun also. So the Almighty said, "All right, I'll give you something else. Zil likro tzadike bishmeich. The righteous will be called with your name, because you're called the Mor Akotay." You're called the small light. The righteous will be called by your name, Yaakov HaKotan. There's a pasuk that says, that calls Yaakov a Kotan, a small person. Shmuel HaKotan. David HaKotan. Chaz Yedelekom Yasvedaita. Kodesh Baruch Hu saw with all of this, the moon was still not satisfied. Omar HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Haviyu Kaporo Alay, Shemiyadati Yasa Yoreach. So HaKodesh Baruch Hu said, all right. Every Reish Chedesh, bring a kapora, bring a sacrifice for my sake, because I diminished the moon. Behind the Omer of Shimon Lokish, Manishtanu Seyeshel Eshkherish, and Embel Hashem. On every time, on every holiday that we bring a sacrifice, a chatos, so it just says you should bring the sacrifice. On Eshkherish in the Torah, in Parshas Pinchas, it says you should bring it for Hashem, So'il Hashem. It should be for Hashem. Why? This should be a sacrifice for me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, because I diminished the moon. Now, there's a lot in this Gemara, and we don't have time to go into it. The hour is late. But just perhaps one point or two points, something that we can understand from here. The moon felt that from the fact that his light was diminished, this was making him into a lesser creation. And there was some truth in it, because the king of the physical world, like he claimed, two kings cannot serve under one crown. And therefore he became smaller in order that the sun should be the king. The king of the physical world is the sun. And this the Torah tells us, that the king of the physical world is the sun, and this is something that we know scientifically. That the source of all physical energy, the physical source of all physical energy in the world is the sun. And the physical source of uniting the world is the sun. It is the magnetic force of the sun which holds the world in order, which motivates the world, gives it its order, cycles and its systems and so forth. And this is the duty of the king. The king has to structure law and order in his society. So the physical king of this world was the sun. And he became this way when the moon diminished itself. So it's true it was a shortcoming to the moon. But what the moon didn't understand, that by this HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving something to it that the sun doesn't have. And that is, by becoming smaller, a smaller light, and a light which is dependent on the sun. The moon's light is dependent on the sun. And a light that would diminish and renew itself. He was giving the moon a power where it constantly grows, and then it diminishes, and then there's a birth, and it grows, and it diminishes. It is not constant, but it diminishes and is reborn. And the moon didn't understand what this meant. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that you will understand this through the sacrifice of Rosh Chodesh. Because the purpose of a sacrifice, which is called Korban, which means closeness, is to bring Yisrael close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And every Rosh Chodesh, from the fact that we bring a sacrifice at the time of the renewal of the month, the renewal, the rebirth of the moon, means that there's a special sanctity, and it brings a special closeness of Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is because, just as he gave the moon a power to rejuvenate itself, and the moon received new physical powers every month from a higher being, so does Klal Yisrael rejuvenate itself and receive higher powers every month to be reborn and to grow again. And this is the sanctity of Rosh Chodesh, that when the moon is reborn, there's a sanctity that comes. And this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, the tzaddikim, the righteous, are called on your name. David HaMelech, and Shmuel, and Yaakov. Because they might be small, but they grow. And they have potential. Not something which is constant or stagnant. And this is why Klal Yisrael is commanded to count in accordance to the moon, not in accordance to the sun. The Umas HaElam, the nations of the world, they were commanded to count, or they do count in accordance to the sun. Because they reach their peak, and they count accordance to the sun. But Klal Yisrael, which constantly receives its spiritual powers from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every day is a day of growth. Every day is a day of being reborn. And from nothing can become something. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand the Chidush HaLevona, the renewal of the month, the renewal of the moon. And the Sforim say why? Because he couldn't understand how from nothing could be something. Klal Yisrael will count according to you. This is why we are commanded to count by the moon, and this was the appeasement given to the moon, that to know that there is a sanctity connected with this, and every Rosh Chodesh, every time there's a rebirth of the moon, there will be a sacrifice. The sacrifice will denote this. This is why Klal Yisrael always is symbolized to the moon. Because just like the moon receives its light and has the power to renew itself, even in the most darkest times, even when it's not there anymore, so does Klal Yisrael have the power to renew itself. It receives its life from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and then grows to a great strength. These are some of the principles that we can learn from this Gemara and from this mitzvah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.